Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through and through. Some people that get on your last nerve, and they do that when
you have prayed, and when you're in a good mood, someone comes to try to tear it down. But ask God to continue to change us.
Amen. And
like Pastor said, we're changing. What is it? Changing families to change the world.
That's right. That's right. Always. Lord, this morning, glory to God. This is the Father's house.
Amen.
This is not the hog pen. Ooh. Glory to God. And I know the difference.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is peace in the house.
Amen.
Joy in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Salvation in the house.
Yes.
Everything I need is in this house.
That's right.
Everything I want is in this house. If it's not in the house, I don't need it.
That's right.
If it's not in the house, I don't want it.
That's
glory
right.
to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. Pray that you'll open our eyes, Lord, this morning, and we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That was an interesting discussion we had the other night about the coming together. And, you know, I've thought about that some since. And the Church of God is right now, this day, we are espoused to Christ.
Yeah.
Paul said, I have espoused you to Christ as a chaste virgin. We are espoused. Now, in the Hebrew, we haven't come together yet.
but we are married then.
We are married. In the Hebrew custom, which is what we're talking about, this is biblical. In the Hebrew custom, an espousal was a marriage. You were bound. You were bound absolutely. It's just like in Matthew 1 and 18 where it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away private. So an espousal takes a divorce. If you're espoused, it takes a divorce to put it away. Now we know in our custom, an engagement, you don't need a divorce to get rid of an engagement. You just give the ring back, right? You don't need a divorce to get out of an engagement. But in the Hebrew custom, an espousal was a done deal. It was absolutely. Now, they hadn't come together yet.
Because Joseph, her husband.
That's right. Exactly. It is exactly your husband and wife. Even before you come together, it's a separate operation. So we are espoused to Christ right now. Now, when we come together, as Paul said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. That's when we come together. Is at the rapture. The rapture is when we come together and we become as one. We are absolutely one. We have one flesh, one body, just like his glorious body. And that's the day we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Our gathering together unto him. We will come unto him and we will become one flesh just like he is. Praise the Lord. We will see him as he is, for we shall be like him.
Yeah.
At this time, of course, that's still future and it's still something we're looking forward to. Glory to God. All right, anyway, praise the Lord. Talking about the book of Ruth, and let's go back to chapter 4 again.
Were you saying the gathering together was the same as coming together a man and wife?
Yes, that's the idea. Once we are, that is the union, that's what corresponds to the consummation of the marriage, when we are given our glorified bodies.
So it's not the same word, though.
Well,
it just symbolizes.
It's symbolic, yes, because you know, obviously in the kingdom of God, we neither marry nor are given in marriage. We're like the angels of God. So when we get our glorified bodies, we're no longer together with him. We are together with him forever. And at that point, it's at that point that we become one with him, and we actually share. That's where we actually begin to share. Now, all the things that we talk about right now about being raised together in heavenly places with him and so on and so forth, that is not consummated. We're really not, I mean, we're not sitting in his throne yet, but we will, okay? That is really a future event. It's like the difference between the espousal and the coming together. It's a done deal. It's going to happen in due time, but we're actually not literally there yet. We will get there. Literally. We will be there. We will literally be there with him.
Yeah.
And we share in a lot of things with him right now, but we can't walk through walls. And we can't travel, you know, through time and space like he could. And our bodies still deteriorate and all this kind of stuff. The day will come when we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will become just like him. And at that point, that really corresponds to the coming together, or to the consummation of the marriage. And we're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to celebrate with him. We understand for 7 years. That's because the Hebrew marriage celebration lasted for 7 days. And they feasted and celebrated for 7 days. So the rapture is going to occur, as we understand it, as I understand it, and we're going to be with him for 7 years before we return with him to actually rule and reign with him on the earth. So there's going to be a time of rejoicing and a time of feasting where we are sharing in his glory and his essence in a sense that we have never been able to share before. It's going to last, you know, it's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be a special time. So that there is that. So right now, when you get saved, you are a spouse to him. You become his. You're a spouse to him. But you're still going to die. You're still going to die. There will come a day when your body is going to be fixed where it won't die.
Yes.
Right.
And so...
That's at the rapture. So that's when everybody in heaven gets their body too. So they'll
that's
have
right.
total manifestation
that's right.
of their salvation.
That is correct.
What they've been purchased for.
That is correct.
Totally
that is correct.
And
that is correct.
Redeemed.
And we get into this every once in a while in our Revelation class. And I don't know why this is such a hard concept for everybody. Those folks, when we die, Our spirit man goes to God, goes back to God.
And our soul.
Your soul and your spirit is your spirit man.
So it's totally redeemed in heaven.
That's right. So it goes to heaven, but your body stays here and goes back to the ground and turns back to dust. You are not a whole person. You are not a whole person till your body and your spirit man come back together. You are not a whole person.
You're not just like Jesus.
You are not just like Jesus. Even when you're dead and you're there with him, as long as your body is still molding in the ground, you are not just like him.
Right.
Because he has a resurrected body,
yes,
and a glorified body. Yes. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Yes. And once it's going to take the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the dead to get us into the place where we can share in that essence. We can't do it. Even when we're dead, we can't do it. We won't have a body. We won't have a body. We're incomplete.
Right. Yeah.
We need our bodies back.
Yes.
We're going to get our bodies back,
yes,
glory to God. But we will not be whole and complete Now, we're going to be at rest. It's going to be good and all of that. But we still need our bodies back, because we saw the souls of them who were under the altar, and they were saying, How long, O Lord, do we have to wait until we get our bodies? And he said, just wait a little longer until those who have to be killed are killed, and then it's going to happen. So we are going to eat. We're still in a waiting mode. When you go to heaven, you're still in a waiting mode for the redemption of your body.
It's true.
And the redemption of your body is when we come together again.
Glory to God.
Amen. When he comes back, those of us who have gone on, he's going to bring with him, and we're going to meet our bodies coming out of the grave. And we're going to reunite with our glorified bodies, and we will be a whole person again. And we'll be just like him, just like he came out of the grave. This is not a hard concept. But for some reason, we have the discussions just get all, just go everywhere direction. In our Revelation class about, you know, when I say this, that when you die, your body is going to the ground and your spirit man is going to heaven, but that is not totally you, because you've got to have your body. You've got to be, you're a triune being. You understand that? You are a triune being. Spirit, soul, and body. That's how you were created.
Body's been purchased.
That's right. And that's how you are going to spend eternity as a triune being.
And it's going to be on earth too, right?
It's going to, well, until earth is destroyed, that's right.
Yeah, well, the new earth.
Yeah, then the new earth. That's correct. Then is then the new earth. That is correct. Then the new earth. Yes, indeed. We're going to be that way. But until you are a triune being, you're not a complete, whole, entire person. So therefore, we are still in a waiting mode, and that's part of the consummation of this business.
That's
part of the consummation when we get our, when we finally are reunited with our bodies. Then we become like him. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah.
And we're joined together with him.
That's
There's
right.
A joining together with Christ.
I there mean, is going
that's
to.
What it takes.
That's correct.
I mean, it's not.
That is really true. Now there is a, when you get saved right now, there is your spirit is redeemed, and your spirit is changed, your spirit is renewed, and all of this. But your body isn't. Your body's not.
Neither is your soul.
No, your soul isn't either. That is a process. That is a process. Your soul is not, and so that is a process. So this whole business, once our body comes out of the ground, it's going to be all fixed. It's going to be complete. It's going to be consummated, okay? That's the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end.
Yes.
So that's the day that all of creation has been groaning and waiting for is the redemption of the body.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And so, you know, that's what we really long for is the day that we are that's the day of the consummation. Really, that's the day that
John
we're long.
14.
Where are you at?
John 14.
All right. Let's look at that. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's right. So he's preparing a place for us. Still in preparation. Once it's prepared, he will come again and will receive us to himself. There's your consummation. He will receive us to himself. That's when it happens. And then we're going to have a 7-year. It looks like we're going to have a 7-year time of feasting with him, where we're going to enjoy
the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yes, it appears so. The marriage supper of the Lamb, and we don't know a whole lot about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Although we do know that if types and shadows are correct in the Old Testament, we know of course that the Hebrew marriage lasted for 7 days. And just coincidentally, and I don't think it's a coincidence, but anyway, so we're talking about a 7-year period from the time of the rapture until the time of the second coming.
Proof that the rapture happens before.
I think so. I think that's one. I think that's more proof that that's when it happens. Yes, indeed, I do think that. So, of course, I'm a pre-tribber, so. I'm always looking for evidence that, you know, it's going to be pre-trib, praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Let's talk about Ruth chapter 4 again. I know it does. See, I think the church needs to have the whole church, not just this church, not just this local congregation, not even a denomination, but the whole church of God everywhere needs to have a conversation about the book of Ruth. We need to have a conversation about the book of Ruth. We need to understand what it's all about, because we don't, and it's a very, very important book. The transaction at the gate of the town of Bethlehem is one of the most inexplicable transactions in the Bible. We've already discussed how that transaction cannot be explained in any legal, conventional, or literal sense. No woman in Israel could inherit land from her husband or from her sons. Therefore, she could not legally sell it. Inheritance and lineage passed down through the male line, not through the female line. Now, it's opposite in Judaism today, by the way. Today, the lineage passes down through the female. If you have a Gentile father and a Jewish mother, you're Jewish. You're regarded Jewish. If you have a Jewish father and a Gentile mother, you're regarded as a Gentile. That's the way it works today. That is the way it works. So if you have a Gentile father and a Jewish mother, you're regarded as Jewish.
When did it change?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. It changed in Talmudic times. I'm not sure how they looked at it in New Testament times. It certainly was probably during the Babylonian captivity, probably there was some change.
But before that, it was the opposite.
That was the opposite before the Babylonian captivity. Now, I don't know the reasons. There may have been practical reasons for a change.
Does that explain the two genealogies?
Well, that's true. There are two genealogies.
One goes through Mary,
one of them goes down through Joseph, and one of them goes down through Mary, yes.
So he's covered both ways.
He's covered both ways, yes, obviously, yes.
Okay.
Huh. But you do have a matrilineal genealogy in the book of Luke,
yeah,
and a patrilineal genealogy in the book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. But now, of course, we all understand that Jesus did not have an earthly father. Joseph was not his father, and if anybody knew that, it was Matthew. Yeah. But what Matthew was trying to do was not to show us the genealogy of Jesus down through Joseph. What Matthew was trying to do was to show us that there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, and 14 from David till the carrying away of captivity, and 14 from the carrying away of captivity until Christ. That makes 42 generations. And the number 42 is highly significant. It is a symbolic number associated with the Messiah. So that was the number that Joseph's intent to show there were 14, 14, and 14,
right,
which makes 42, which shows that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yeah.
So that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing, not to show us that somehow or other he had an earthly father. That was the whole purpose of it.
Years. I know there's 14. I know that's 14.
That's correct.
What does that mean?
It means 40. That's right. It shows the number 42. And we talked about this in Revelations. It's really interesting. We don't really have time to go into that in here, probably. Of course, like I said, all roads lead to Revelation. I've said it all the time. Okay, I want to say just a couple more things about this. Transaction at the gate can only be explained in a spiritual sense. It can only be explained spiritually, not physically. We don't understand it. We cannot explain it physically. It is a type and shadow of something to do with dispensations and eschatology. The transaction was not legal or of the law, but it was of promise and of grace. It was of promise and of grace. That's what the transaction was all about. It showed of a, it told us of a new day. And it foreshadowed a new time. And anybody who understood the laws of that day would have looked at that and scratched their head and said, well, I don't understand anything about what's going on here. And that is a red flag that God waves around every once in a while in the Old Testament to show you that there's something deeply symbolic going on here that you can't explain it in any literal sense. So therefore, you need to look deeper. Don't just look on the surface. There is a deep spiritual lesson to be discovered here. No one really understands the relationship that existed vis-a-vis the Redeemer kinsman and the redeemed property after the redemption. I'm going to leave it right there today. Next time I'm going to go into that some more. Because it's complicated. It is quite complicated. And I just want you to think on this for a week. Nobody really understands the relationship that existed vis-a-vis the Redeemer kinsman and the redeemed property after the redemption. Who owned it and in what sense? Did the Redeemer own it outright? If he did, what good did that do to the person who lost it? And if he didn't own it and it went right back to the person who lost it, then what was to stop the person who lost it from losing it again and then the Redeemer having to buy it out and do it and continue over and over and over? And what good would that do the Redeemer? How would that benefit him? How would you get him to do it if he was just going to lose money on you every time? Did the year of Jubilee have anything to do with it? Or did it operate independently of the year of Jubilee? We don't know these things. We just don't know. Now, I'll talk about this next week, but if it's a type and shadow of our redemption by Christ, then it appears that we are because when we're redeemed by Christ, we are no longer our own. We don't get our life back. Do you understand that? You don't get your life back. No, your life is not yours. You're bought with a price and you are not your own. You are a servant for the rest of eternity. You do not get your life back. Christ gets your life. That's it. Okay.
That
is true. That is right. Glory to God. So, all right, if that's, we'll leave it there and we can talk about that a little bit next time.
Praise the Lord.